we kind of think like as we age that our body's gonna start hurting and that like we're gonna get depressed and that we're gonna get overweight and we're gonna be miserable and like all of a sudden, because I'm not going backwards to what normal gave me cancer, I'm now moving forwards or in the present moment. You know, I'm almost 60 years old. I've never
Wow.
felt better. I've never had more fun. I've never felt more love. And I've never felt more possibility. I didn't know that that was possible. And so if I hadn't have gotten sick, I never would have opened this egg. I never would have seen. The check engine light was on, and I just kept putting tape over it and putting tape over it and putting tape over it. And eventually my body just said, okay, enough of this. We're giving you cancer now. Are you going to pay attention? And it did. And I chose to be a student and I chose to learn from that. And it is a beautiful journey.
Welcome to the Stay Grounded podcast. I'm your host, Raj Jana, founder of Liberate, and it's my mission to help you become the most grounded, loving, and authentic version of yourself that you can be. Each week, I interview experts in the fields of mindset, spirituality, and emotional well-being. My brilliant guests share their tools, stories, and unique perspectives to help you develop the skills you need to show up fully for the people and things that matter most in your life. Now let's dive in.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to this special episode of Stay Grounded with the dearest Allison Gannett. So Allison is a recent graduate of the Precision Emotional Healing for Cancer program. And I wanted to bring her on the show because I have seen Allison go through one of the most profound transformations in a very short period of time. And she's so brilliant in the way that she communicates what she's going through. She's been through multiple dances with cancer. She got a brain tumor, I believe, in 2012. And then after that, multiple recurrences and multiple learnings and multiple lessons from not looking at cancer as something to fight, but something to learn from and something to be curious about. And her mindset around cancer and how that has allowed her to live a meaningful and fulfilling life is just beautiful. And so I wanted her on the show because I can just feel where she's at now and the depth of transformation that she's been able to experience. And I want you guys to know more about Liberate. Like Liberate, truly, these programs that we're building and these programs and offerings that we're creating are transforming lives, whether you have cancer or not. And so I hope this episode actually shares a profound level of awareness around what is actually possible when we begin to do the deeper work. Yes, there's all the things we can do for our health, like get in shape and eat well and do all these things. But when we begin to actually look at our lives and examine our lives and understand where our behaviors come from, where our thought patterns come from, where our emotions come from, what's actually driving underneath it all, you give yourself the keys to unlock infinite levels of vitality and health. And Allison's story is a testament to that. I believe she said she was 60 on the podcast, and I was like, oh my God. And just towards the end of the episode, she was really sharing so much wisdom around what she learned from cancer and what she wants to leave behind for people who are just living life to remember, especially as we get older. It was just a really beautiful episode with an absolutely beautiful human being that I'm so grateful that you all get to meet now. So enjoy this episode. If anything that we said on the podcast resonates with you, reach out to me, tag us on social. And I'm just so grateful that you guys are here and listening and being a part of this journey. It's just been such an incredible honor to share this space with you all. So anyways, without further ado, here is the dearest Miss Allison Gannett. Enjoy. Hello, Allison. Welcome
Hello,
to the show.
Raj.
I love seeing your face. It's so bright and smiley. And I was sharing this with you earlier. This feels like a bit of a milestone for me even to really kind of connect with you in a one-on-one capacity. I mean, we hung out in person last weekend and that was really busy, so I didn't get to like really drop in with you. But to know where you were at on our first call and the things you were navigating, and to see you now, to feel, not even see, to feel you now is such a treat for me. So I just want to thank you for being here and for taking a few moments or an hour out of your day, more than a few moments, multiple moments to spend an afternoon with me. And I'm just grateful that I get to know more about your story and to share it with people who may need to hear it.
I'm just honored to be here and to be with you, and yeah, hopefully, we're going to make some magic here.
I think we'll make some type of magic. All right. So I'd love to paint a picture of your journey, right? So like, you know, you went through the Liberate program, you did all that, but before that, you know, I'd love for you to paint a picture of, you know, what was going on around the time you got your diagnosis. What was happening right before it? What was the time right after? Like, just paint a picture of where and connect to her, like that Allison, if you could, for anybody listening, so that they can really feel where you were at when you received those words, you got cancer.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, as are most of our stories. The short summary is that basically I was born into a family with my dad being an alcoholic and very much not seen and not heard. And I was kind of a fat, dorky math geek. And that was kind of the first phase of my life. And then I decided, like, I wanted to prove the world wrong. And so I became a professional extreme skier, one of those silly people who jumps off cliffs for a living. And then I became the world champion. So I really had a lot to prove. We then bought an organic farm and I was competing, skiing and mountain biking, and kind of grew and raised all our own food, kind of had this like perfect idyllic life. And then all of a sudden I started acting very strangely. And my husband thought I was depressed. My mom thought it was because I didn't have a kitchen and our house was always under construction and we were kind of like living in the wild. But really what was happening over the course of probably 10 or 20 years was a brain tumor was growing, and it eventually was the size of like a baseball, almost approaching a grapefruit in my upper right side of my brain. And if you look at the scans, it literally looks like there's no room left for brain matter. And we saw my personality change. I had a big presentation for Microsoft in Las Vegas that was talking about reaching your goals. It was all about jumping off cliffs and aspiring to your career. And I basically forgot to get on the plane. And a couple of days later, I also was cooking at my farm and almost burned the house down and was just watching the flames kind of crawl up the wall. And because of my brain tumor, I just thought that they were beautiful. And wow. My husband at that point was like, oh boy. He called a friend who was a nurse and she said, get her to the ER right now. And so I literally walked into the ER, and I actually remember I kind of would remember parts of my life and not other parts of my life. Like, I have this presentation for Microsoft, and then the next minute I forgot about it. And there was just crazy things going on. And I guess, you know, the doctor came back with the CAT scan and was like looking at this tumor that was like almost the size of my entire head. And it's no exaggeration. We'll have to show people the picture. And he was like, well, you know, I think you need to come in on Monday and talk to a neurosurgeon. And he was very casual about it. And meanwhile, we quickly, you know, started calling family members. And, you know, when they saw copies of the scan, they were like, oh, you're not going to your little podunk hospital in the middle of nowhere in Colorado. We need to pull out the big guns. And so they started calling around to find a good surgeon. Barely remember this, was rushed to the hospital in Denver. Went through the ER, got into a really good surgeon, was basically signed my life away, which I don't remember because, you know, obviously that's a very dangerous surgery. 10 hours later, they had most of the tumor out, the primary tumor. They actually were able to resect and they missed another tumor. And basically I woke up and they had me count backwards from 100 by sevens. And I was able to do that. So at that point, I realized that I was like back to my normal self. And it was like a switch had been flipped. Like my husband just cried because my feisty self was back.
Wow. Okay. So that happened. And then what did your life look after that? And how did that transition into, I guess, where you were at before you even joined the Liberate program? Like, yeah, what is that journey like?
I mean, this was 2013, and the surgery was so hard on my body. They basically sent me home to recover. Normally, they would have just pushed me right into chemo and radiation. Luckily, by a stroke of the divine, I was sent home to recover. And at that time, I used Dr. Google to look into more about what my tumor was. It's called a hemangiopericytoma. The doctors said, oh, don't worry, you're young and you're healthy and you're an athlete and you're a farmer, you're going to be just fine. You know, I pull up on the internet, like the average survival time at that time was 6.8 months. And so I was like, oh boy. Like they did not tell me this.
Mm.
And so.
Were you glad they didn't tell you?
No. I think my feeling is that a lot of times they're trying to protect you and give you hope, but I feel that honesty is important because if you're going to make decisions about your life and what you want to do with treatment, you know, a little while later, we'll talk about how she said, ask them how long you're going to live with chemo and radiation. And they were going to do a double dose of chemo, double dose of radiation, and how long you would live without chemo and radiation. And actually, even on PubMed, I found that people live longer with my type of cancer without standard of care. So we need to be able to ask these questions. And that's like a whole nother podcast. And I've created a document for my clients, which is questions to ask your doctor, because a lot of people, we all want to be like, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to know, but you also have to know so you can decide what you want to do with your life. While I was recovering, I had heard that kale was very good for cancer, and I ran out of kale in my own garden because the flea beetles had eaten it. So I went over to a friend's house.
Pesky beetles.
Darn beetles. And pick some kale. And I was like, yes, I'm going to go to this doctor down, you know, and I heard like, you know, I just heard some rumors, like, of course, everybody's giving you advice at that point. And this woman, my friend, she said, you know, I've heard of this doctor, Dr. Nasha Winters, and I think you should reach out to her. And, you know, this was right after my diagnosis, maybe 2 or 3 weeks after. I mean, it was just like a stroke of the universe telling me. And I called Nasha at that time, and they said, well, it just so happens we're having a retreat this weekend, a 4-day women's retreat for people with cancer. And I said, oh, well, I'm working this weekend, because I was in complete denial. I was just like still working, still farming, still doing all the things I was doing.
What were you in denial? When you say you were in denial, were you in denial of the need to, of that, like that timeline that you saw on Google? Like, what do you mean? When you say that, what do you mean?
I felt at the time that okay, here is like the reality, like that I might have 6 months, 6.8 months to live, but my brain wanted to believe that if I went back to normal, that I would be normal. And I see this happen a lot. And I relate with other clients. Like if I just go back, then I won't have cancer.
What's interesting though is what was normal is what created the cancer in the first place. So it's interesting that your mind was doing that. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It seems like, I mean, for people listening, I wonder if we polled them, how many people would say, I asked this question of a lot of my clients and they all say the same thing. And I said, you know, you do realize that normal gave you cancer. And so what I realized by, I literally hung up on Nisha and said, see you later, bye. And all of a sudden I was in the garden and I was just like, wait a minute, I'm dying. And you just hung up on this person that has a potential lifeline. What are you thinking about going to work? So I canceled work and I went and was with Nisha for 4 days. And it was only myself and maybe 12 other people. And it was just like magic. I mean, she just so gently explained that these are the different root causes of cancer. And once we know the root causes of cancer, then we can repair them one by one. And I'm such a science geek that it just made all the right sense to me at the time.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk a whole lot about how our love for Nisha and how much we appreciate her. And I also just want to like speak to something around the going back to normal and the fallacy of the brain and the mind. You know, like I've seen this over the years, even in my own life with wanting to go back to relationships or repeat relationships, repeat like what you know. And I don't remember what branch of psychology this is, but I remember doing some research and the best way that it was explained to me is your brain has one job. It's to help you survive. Mm-hmm. It's literally it. So if you haven't actually died yet, you've survived it. So like the truth is you had a normal quote unquote life. You got cancer. You did the surgery and your brain is like, oh, I'm still alive. Therefore, I should just go back to doing all the things that keep me alive.
Yeah.
Because it's not actually future. It's actually stuck in that loop. And this is why people repeat abusive relationships because they didn't die from the abusive relationship. They're still, in fact, like that's the devil they know. Mm-hmm. The more scary thing would be to try a new thing. Try to go into a healthier relationship. Maybe try to do different things for your health. That is scary. That is unknown. That has death written all over it. And I say this because it's so important to remember that your mind is either an ally or a hindrance on your healing journey. Yeah. And just even this awareness, and I'm so proud of you for having that root. I mean, like that seems like such a powerful, like you kind of snapped yourself out of it in that moment. And so, so let's go back to your story. So you came out of that retreat.
Yeah.
And then what did life look like? Like, did you like talk about you did, are you cancer free, come back into cancer? Like what was your journey like? And what was, cause I remember you, when you joined Liberate, like you are either, are you still actively cancering in a cancer process or where were you?
You know, it's hard to know at this point. I did have recurrences in, so that I had the tumor that they missed in 2013. I then started actively working every single part of Nisha's program. Well, almost every single part, because we're going to talk about what happened in 2018. I had a recurrence and I kind of think of cancer as being like little angels, like little messengers coming down to like land on my shoulder and be like, hey, Allison, there's something you're not paying attention to. Mm. And, you know, because of course I cry for 2 days first, and then I dust myself off, and then I say, oh, what is cancer trying to teach me? It's very easy to fall into like, what am I doing wrong? And I know with all of my heart that I was doing everything that pretty much that Nisha had outlined, but then I really had to self-examine and say, what am I missing? And what I really came up with was two things. I hadn't gotten a radon test, which turned out to be positive. And so then I needed to do a bunch of mitigation. I hadn't quit dairy, even though my genes had told me that I needed to quit dairy. And then the third thing, I was doing meditation, but I was kind of like faking it. I wasn't, I was doing it because it was a checklist of things to do, but I wasn't embodying it. So at that point, that cancer diagnosis in 2018 woke me up to a deeper level of healing myself. And then I had another recurrence in 2020 and another one in 2022. And each time it kind of peeled back another layer of my healing. And again, really trying not to focus on what you're doing wrong, but what you're doing right, but what were my opportunities to go further into my healing. And my last recurrence was this divine messenger telling me to do Liberate. And I have to say, thank goodness I had that messenger, because I was kind of resistant, I have to admit. And then I did my first mapping session and my whole world was rocked. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a huge piece of my puzzle.
Can you speak to that? And because, you know, you started doing the meditation, that's what, 2018 or 2017? What was the year?
2018.
2018. Yeah. So that was when like you had the checkbox meditation and then you had a few more recurrences.
Yep.
And so like, what was that light bulb that came up for you after you had your mapping session that made you realize this is what you actually needed, not all the things you were maybe trying to do for your mental and emotional?
Well, I think through meditation, I realized that what I had been doing was a checklist of treatments. Like, okay, I should be in the sauna at 6 a.m. Oh, wait, I got to take my binder at 5 a.m. Then I got to be in the sauna at 6 a.m. Then I'm doing meditation at 7. And so everything was like a list. And what I realized, like, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, was I just had this moment that healing wasn't a checklist. It needed to be, I don't know, it needed to be something I was passionate about doing and that I was doing for me, for my own growth and my own happiness, and not because Nisha told me to do it.
Why do you think passion matters when it comes to healing?
That's a really good question.
Welcome to the Stay Grounded podcast.
Yes, I know. I mean, I think passion is a word. And I think what comes up for me is like authenticity and kind of like a realness that is hard to put a finger on, that I need to be, because I'm an organic farmer. I need to be a gardener of my, of cultivating space in my life, of cultivating peace, of cultivating healing. And in the same way that when I'm in the garden, I'm like giving these plants all and these seeds and like all this love and attention and nourishment, water, compost, like I needed to do that for my body. And not just be like a mechanical tractor putting plants in the ground.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm like, that's really beautiful. And kind of even, I can feel the energetic shift of that, mm-hmm. like versus like a checklist, which is like very mental. It's like, versus the tending to your own garden, which is like, patient and spacious and loving and compassionate and slow. Mm-hmm. And that energy has a, it's almost like you just want to rest. You can rest into that energy, and it's something that can hold you. And okay, so you made that shift, and as you began Liberate, like why do you feel like it was, like, how was Liberate supporting you in that journey of tending to your garden with this slow, loving, present pace?
Yeah, it was very interesting because of my checklist and my need to cure my cancer. Like, I just had this thought, like, if I just did everything, then cancer would go away. And so I do somatic healing and I do tapping and I do my talk therapy, and then I'd get a massage, and then I'd get acupuncture, and then I'd have all my Natia supplements and then all my healing modalities. And it, they were all wonderful. But there was something that changed when I did Liberate. And I think what it was is that when we did the mapping and I got the report of my core wounds, and one of my first core wound was, you know, you do not feel worthy of being loved. And then I think the second one that I got on my first report was that the world isn't fair. And I really felt as part of that was not being seen and not being heard as a child. And so all of a sudden, something just clicked that the reason I have been in fight, flight, fix, or freeze for the last, 50 years, 59 years, is because I was doing one of those four things. And I was doing one of those four things, fight, flight, fix, or freeze, because I wasn't being seen and being heard as my little girl. And I had talked about that in talk therapy, but there was some way that the piece of the puzzle just fell into place when we did that mapping for Liberate, because it suddenly made sense to me why I was how I was now. And I do feel like, even though I don't feel worthy of love as a little girl, and I feel that the world is unfair, I externally look like a person who really has their act together and is really strong and powerful. But that is all just armor and protection for this little girl. And I just suddenly Liberate put those pieces of the puzzle together, and that years and years of therapy just all of a sudden made sense.
How did you having that awareness or that click, how did that aid your healing?
Well, I knew the little girl was there and I knew she was wounded. I knew she had a hard time being seen and being heard. And I knew she felt that the world was unfair. And then I knew I was this strong, powerful woman now, but I couldn't connect the two. I couldn't see that they were both acting with the same methods of protection and just expressing themselves in a different way. So, for example, if I went to talk therapy, I might be like, oh, hey, Becky, I don't understand, but I just had a moment where I was really had a trigger because my husband was parking in the wrong place. And so before, we just talk about the triggers and why it wasn't good to be controlling, but I never understood why I was so concerned about him parking in the right place. And it was really that little girl who just didn't feel in control of her life. So the grown-up Allison was trying to control everything. If I had a scan coming up, suddenly I would have a million triggers because I was really worried about the scan, but what it would come across is, you know, honey, you need to park here. Why are you having that for breakfast? Why did you put the peas in the upper garden or instead of the lower garden? And it just seemed like all these unrelated, weird things that were going on. And I never realized that all the triggers were the same thing and all tracing back to that little girl who was not seen and not heard.
Got it. So you were able to, because of the mapping, because of the awareness, because of how you were able to link together all these different triggers, you started recognizing that healing the inner child was also healing your fear of getting your labs back. It was the same thing.
Yeah.
And that then, so like, how do you feel now?
I feel so much more peaceful and calm, and I'm starting to be a lot more connected to my body, because what I have been is up here in my head. And it's no mistake that I got brain cancer. I always say to my other fellow brain cancer people, it's like we have too many apps open in our head, and finally the operating system just shuts down.
Wow.
And I have forever had so many apps open in my head and so much thinking going on. And now to try to take it out of my head and into my body, you know, it's a journey. I will never be there, but the goal is never to get there. My goal now is, I think it was a word you used when we talked maybe 4 months ago. I think the word you used was like understanding. And I think the other word that comes up for me is curiosity. And the other word is allow. And just like, it's exhausting, fight, flight, fix, or freeze. And to suddenly like get off that train. And I've been trying to get off that train for my whole life. But Liberate gave me like the key that enabled it all to make sense. And it just, all of a sudden, it was like the pressure was just let out of the tires and it just went, psh.
That whoosh. It's like a, that's it. Like I've always looked at it as like, there's just this bound energy in our bodies that are just, it's always there. And then once you see the thing and you realize the thing, now you can begin to release the energy in that allowing and in the letting go.
Yeah.
And in the feeling, it's like mm-hmm. you come back to that space of harmony in the body, and the body is safe. The body, right? Like the mind, we're so disconnected from, because we have that energy there and we're not used to feeling our emotions. And it's like, I don't want to feel my emotions. So we retreat. But as we build that, you said it beautifully earlier. I think it was embodiment is the word you used. And I think that's what I've been feeling from you, is just like this deeper landedness. Like you're landed in your body. Like it's like there's a, you're inhabiting the body as opposed to retreating to the mind and overthinking. And I don't know if that resonates, but I'd love to. Yeah. Cause it's beautiful. And this is, I wanted you here because I just adore you. And I just appreciate, so I think the journey from the head to the heart, or the head to the body, is in some ways the longest path.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, like you've been on this healing journey for a long time. Do you feel like if you had Liberate earlier on in your journey, it would have made things faster? Or did you feel like you needed to go through the journey you did and then find Liberate for it to create the breakthroughs you did?
It's tough because I do feel that it's a process, like an unveiling of layers, like you're peeling an onion, one layer after another layer after another layer. So that process is important, that we all have our journey to go through the layers of the onion. But what I'm realizing now that my nervous system has really landed, as you said, is so much more information can come to the heart as opposed to the head, because you're able to absorb more because you're grounded and because you've landed and because you've found some peace and harmony in your body. So it's hard, because I think if someone, I know Naisha told me in 2013, like, you know, emotional part of cancer is at least 50%. And over the years, she keeps ratcheting it up. I think most recently she said it was like 75% emotional. And because I deal with clients on a daily basis, I see a lot of them in myself. And I notice that when people are in this fight, flight, fix, or freeze, that emotion, that healing modalities kind of bounce off of them. They're not like penetrating. And I think if we could front load liberate, if we could say, and I hope that in, as part of my program with my fellow teachers, with all of my clients, that eventually liberate will be included and it'll just be part of the class that they have to do. Because I do think we need the information and the healing to permeate ourselves and our body. And if the cells are in fight, flight, fix, or freeze, or the body is in that, I don't think we're able to really heal fully.
Yeah.
And it's slower.
I think that's what I wanted to check with you on, because that's what I see this a lot, you know, when the mind is your ally in the healing journey, things just feel like you don't feel like you're pushing a boulder uphill.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you're up against yourself, things feel harder. Things feel like heavier, and it does take more willpower or more community or more support to push. But when we can take out and throw out all the baggage that's making the car heavy, and we can lighten the load, you're still going to have to go uphill, because it's still a journey of healing. You're still doing something that's new, and it doesn't have to feel, you know, what was beautiful. I think I was in a conversation with Dr. Naisha about this, and she was really speaking about the return on experience and being able to prioritize the mental and emotional earlier on in the journey. It just makes the ride more scenic.
I love that.
You know, it makes it more scenic. Like you're more connected and calm. And sure, there is the daily sort of remembrance of the lessons. And I love how you speak to cancer. I mean, like, was that something that, like, how did your relationship to cancer evolve over time? And what is your relationship to cancer now, actually? Like, I'm really curious, like, after all these recurrences and your experience now working with clients, like, how do you view your own relationship to cancer?
It's changed a lot. And so when I was first diagnosed, of course, I'm this like hardcore girl, and that's like my coping mechanism for my trauma as a child. And so when I got diagnosed, everybody was like, Allison, you're a fighter. You're going to fight cancer. And so that war analogy went on in my body for a really long time. And I don't know when the change happened. Might have been in therapy, or it might have been on a podcast, or all of a sudden I just decided, like, I'm not at war with my body. Like, let's say there was an infection in my big toe. Is the solution to fix the infection and figure out what the problem is? Or do we want to cut off our big toe? And then if we have an infection in our hand, do we want to cut off our hand? Well, we can't think of And I think another part was, is I had heard a podcast that was about, we make 500 to 2000 new cancer cells a day. So I have cancer, you have cancer, the whole world has cancer. So if cancer is that much a part of us, how can we be fighting it? Because it's part of who we are. And how do we work with it to massage it to be our friend as opposed to our enemy? And I think this, like, that all started switching when I wanted to stop thinking of cancer as a checklist of things that had to be done, and to really embody my healing, and to also make friends with my cancer, and to love my cancer, and to be like, wow, every time something happens with cancer, I learn something that I never would have learned in a million years. And it's like I'm on a speed learning from all these messages that cancer is teaching me. And if I chose to fight it, I would be pushing them away.
Well, what's beautiful is, and I want to name these specific things that I'm noticing, just as somebody who's observing right now, like having that mindset. Like, if you don't believe that receiving a cancer diagnosis means that you're going to die, because I think that's the first thing. If you remove that, now it can actually be a relationship you build with it. Mm-hmm. Just like pain, right? Like, if you are experiencing pain in the body, like, we're trained to get rid of the pain. We're trained to numb the pain. We're maybe not even trained. We're like almost like it's what everybody else is doing. So it's like, this is what we should do. That's what all the medications are having us do. But learning to listen to the pain, get curious with the pain, practice a sense of intimacy with the pain even, and learn how to do that over a journey of self-love. And from that lens, you can learn so much. And that's what's so beautiful. Like, I'm really like admiring your ability to learn through challenge. Like, you experience this thing and now you're like, okay, like, what is this here to teach me? How is this an angel? And what a beautiful way to live your life and transform these cards that you've been given, these circumstances that you've been given. Oh, sorry. Sorry, everyone. The circumstances that you've been given, like, just that alone feels really important to share. And I think it's just a testament to who you are, actually. Like, I think one of my favorite things, like the poem that you wrote inside of the Liberate community, and the depth of you learning to zoom out and see your journey for what it is. I'm so... You know, it doesn't even matter if I'm proud of you. Like, I hope you are proud of you, Allison. Like, I hope you are like celebrating you for just the human being that you are.
I am more and more able to receive that from you and from other people, to not like want to turn it around and like, thank you for all the things that you've gone through and all the podcasts I've listened about your fight. You know, I'm just going to allow that for a second to sink in, because it is hard for me. One of the little teachers on my shoulder of cancer is to learn to receive help from others and feedback from others, because it is hard for me. So
why is it hard for you?
I think the little girl for me, like, you know, at a very young age was never seen and never heard and never good enough. And so her coping mechanism was to be bigger than life. And there was never a level that I could get to that was enough. And then it became, well, if I can't be enough, then what I'm going to do is help other people. And then I had an epiphany, because I read some quote that was like, sometimes when you're helping other people, you have a giant hole in your own heart. And I do think that part of me does have a giant hole in my heart, and just naming it and allowing it, not trying to necessarily I used to be wanting to fix it all the time. And my big word is just like allow. Like sometimes I'm scared of death, and aren't we all? But how do we just allow that versus say, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, push it away, go somewhere else with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was right after my first mapping session, and I had listened to done that report and Thomas Hubel's like amazing talk at the same day. And that's when I wrote that poem. And I realized that my whole life, I was at currently in the last 11 years, trying to live for the moment when I didn't have cancer. And people who know me, I'm a fun hog. I do fun things every day, but I was still like, I was still like in my brain, life was going to start in the future. So I was either living in the past or living in the future. And I really am just like, how can I just allow the great things that are happening, like going surfing, but also like, oh, I've got a scan coming up and I'm scared of that. And just allowing it all, the good and the bad.
What a beautiful, you know, one of my, I had a mentor who gave me this perspective around, you know, spirit and the soul and why we're born. And it's always helped me. And it actually really ties into, have you seen the movie Soul?
No.
What?
Soul?
It's a Pixar movie. It's a Pixar movie.
Oh, no.
It is the sweetest little Pixar movie. And I actually feel like just based on this, I'm not going to tell you, actually, you know what? Watch the movie.
Okay.
And in many ways, the premise of the movie is, you know, it actually doesn't matter, but the soul chooses to be alive. Because the soul, before it chooses life, is, you know, depending on how you believe consciousness is, like it just lives up here. And then for some reason, it chooses a body. And then for whatever amount of time it chooses that body, it gets to experience all the different ranges of life. But to remember that the soul chose this experience. It chose all of it. It chose the fear, the worry. In fact, when it goes back to consciousness, it's going to be like, oh, I want anxiety. Like, it's so good all the time here. If it was always good, you wouldn't have range. I mean, some of my most fondest memories are falling in love and having my heart broken. It's like all of it. It's like, because like the fear of being like, oh my God, is this going to work? Is this not, like, it's building a company? It's like the range of all the things. And it's, but it's the roller coaster that we sign up for. It's what our souls chose. And your soul chose a pretty epic journey. And to witness and hear your soul unveil itself through your body in this medium on this podcast is such a treat. Like, I actually can feel the depth of what you're experiencing. And I'm just so grateful that you're a part of the community and that you're such a beacon of light for so many human beings and that you care so deeply and that you're so brave and you do so much of your own work. Like, I'm just like so grateful that we get to be friends and that I get to witness you in this next chapter of your life. So like, now that you've kind of gone through the Liberate program, like, how do you feel like it's going to help you shape the rest of your life? Like, what's next for you from this lens of completion?
Well, I feel that I'm going to be on this journey for a long time. And you use the word roller coaster. I love that word because I think that somehow we think that I think that I'm going to get to this point where life is just good. And it just goes up, 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 and healing is linear and life is linear, but life is messy and icky sometimes. And there's these highs and these lows, and to just kind of embrace all of that and, you know, be curious about what is going to happen next. I don't know. You know, I just got out of 2 days of Safe Spaces training. And that was just such an incredible eye-opener to learn how, one of my favorite words is how to cultivate space holding, I guess, and how to cultivate more space for each other. You know, when I learn something like that, and I learn to be a better listener and a better healer, both for myself and for other people, I just, you know, I feel my heart expand.
Yeah, you're living into your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it is beautiful. You know, I feel like there's this beautiful loop that happens when you heal yourself. You, like, you're almost like the most natural thing to do is to support people in healing. It's like we're all on this journey, just walking each other home. And yeah, Allison, thank you so much for just being who you are. And like, I'm celebrating your health. I'm celebrating your continued awakening and your continued evolution, and for you to ride this roller coaster with as much grace and as much curiosity and as big of a smile as you can. And if there's a cry every now and then, that's not so bad. But
all part of it, right?
It's all part of it. So thank you. Is there anything you might want to leave anybody who's thinking about joining the Liberate program? For everybody listening, you know, you can head to liberate.health, that's liberate.health, and learn more about our current offerings and programs. We have a cancer cohort that kicks off every month. We have a non-cancer cohort that kicks off every month. And we also do other trainings, like Allison just mentioned, the Safe Spaces training. You can learn more about all that on the website. But Allison, anything that you want to leave our listeners with around Liberate and the program, and if anyone's on the fence, I'd love for you to say something to them.
Boy, I want to say, I guess I didn't know the potential for how good I could feel. You know, we kind of think like as we age that our body's going to start hurting and that like we're going to get depressed and that we're going to get overweight and we're going to be miserable. And like all of a sudden, because I'm not going backwards to what normal gave me cancer, I'm now moving forwards or in the present moment. And, you know, I'm almost 60 years old. I've never felt better. I've never had more fun. I've never felt more love. And I've never felt more possibility.
Ooh.
And I didn't know that that was possible. And so if I hadn't have gotten sick, I never would have opened this egg. I never would have seen. The check engine light was on and I just kept putting tape over it and putting tape over it and putting tape over it. And eventually my body just said, okay, enough of this. We're giving you cancer now. Are you going to pay attention? And it did. And I chose to be a student and I chose to learn from that. And it is a beautiful journey.
Yes. Woohoo! God, you're so awesome. That was so good. Allison, thank you again for being here and for sharing your presence. And I have one last question for you. In the midst of everything you're doing, everywhere you've been and everywhere you're going, how do you stay grounded? And most importantly, what is one thing you feel like you've done over the years to just help you become a more grounded human being?
But one thing is hard. But I think I would say breath. Because when the world gets crazy, you can breathe in with purpose and you can breathe out with purpose. Or you can just allow the breath in and breath out. And that is something that can always ground me when I start spinning in the past or being anxious about the future. The breath just is presence.
Yeah. Thanks again, Allison. Everybody, that's a wrap for this week's episode of Stay Grounded. I'm your host, Raj. This is your new friend, Allison. And from us, stay grounded. We'll chat soon.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Stay Grounded. No matter where you're from or what you're going through, I hope it helps you remember just how incredible you are and have always been. If you're on a path of emotional healing or self-discovery and would like to learn how Liberate can support your journey, head to www.rajana.com/liberate, that is LIBER8, to learn more about our current group programs and one-on-one offerings. I love you guys, and I'll see you next week.